भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 15, text number 4. Please repeat. Yata dhanashu vai dhana bhavanti na bhavanti cha evam bhutani bhuteshu churitanishu mayaya yata dhana suvaidhana bhavanti na bhavanti cha evam bhutani bhuteshu churidani shumayaya. As churidanisha, sorry. Yata dhana suvaidhana bhavanti na bhavanti cha evam bhutani bhuteshu churitani shamayaya. Please chant. Vaidhana Anticha Bhuteshu Choritani Shamayaya Yata Dhana Suvaidhana Bhavanti Na Bhavanti Cha Churitani Shamayaya. Vanticha Evam Bhutani Bhuteshu Churitani Shamayaya. Vaidhana Bhavanti na Bhavanti cha Evam Bhutani Bhuteshu Churitani Shamayaya. Yatadhana Suvaidhana Bhavanti na Bhavanti cha Evam Bhutani Bhuteshu Churitani Shamayaya. Ladies. Yata dhana suvaidhana Bhavanti na bhavanti cha Evam Bhutani Bhuteshu Churitani Shamayaya. Yata dhana suvaidhana Bhavanti na bhavanti cha Evam Bhutani Bhuteshu Churitani Shamayaya. Yata, just as dhanasu, through seeds of paddy, vai, indeed, dhana, grains, bhavanti, are generated, na, not. Bhavanti, are generated. Sha, also. Evam, in this way. Bhutani, the living entities. Bhuteshu, in other living entities. Churitani, impelled. Ishamayaya, by the potency or power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, when seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes do not. Sometimes the ground is not fertile, and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. Similarly, sometimes a prospective father, being impelled by the potency of the Supreme Lord, can beget a child. But sometimes conception does not take place. Therefore, one should not lament over the artificial relationship of parenthood, which is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. Purport. Maharaj Chitraketu was actually not destined to get a son. Therefore, although he married hundreds and thousands of wives, all of them proved barren, and he could not beget even one child. When Angira Rishi came to see the king requested the great sage to enable him to have at least one son. Because of the blessing of Angira Rishi, a child was sent by the grace of Maya. But the child was not to live for long. Therefore, in the beginning, Angira Rishi told the king that he would beget a child who would cause jubilation and lamentation. King Chitraketu was not destined to get a child by providence or the will of the Supreme. Just as sterile grain cannot produce more grain, a sterile person by the will of the Supreme Lord cannot beget a child. Sometimes a child is born even to an impotent father and sterile mother, and sometimes a potent father and fertile mother are childless. Indeed, sometimes a child is born despite contraceptive methods, and therefore the parents kill the child in the womb. In the present age, killing children in the womb has become a common practice. Why? When contraceptive methods are taken, why don't they act? Why is a child sometimes produced so that the father and mother have to kill it in the womb? We must conclude that our arrangement of so-called scientific knowledge cannot determine what will take place. What is enacted actually depends on the supreme will. It is by the supreme will that we are situated in certain conditions in terms of family, community, and personality. These are all arrangements of the Supreme Lord according to our desires under the spell of Maya, illusion. In devotional life, therefore, one should not desire anything, since everything depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilasita shunyam gyanakarmadhinavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. Quote, one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. End of quote. One should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. For everything else, one should fully depend upon the Supreme Person. We should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. Om Ajnani Timidandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshu Mlitam Jena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhisthaṁ Sthāpitaṁ Jena Bhūtale Swayam Rupa Gadāmayam Dadāti Śvāpadandikam. Ugam Guru Divācālam Pangam Langāyate Girimakribhadam Amandai Sri Guru Dīna Tāranam. Translation again. When seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes do not. Sometimes the ground is not fertile, and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. Similarly, sometimes a prospective father being impelled by the potency of the Supreme Lord can beget a child, but sometimes conception does not take place. Therefore, one should not lament over the artificial relationship of parenthood, which is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. So who's speaking here? Do you remember? Angir Rishi. He's speaking to King Chitraketu. And as Srila Prabhupada points out in the translation here, everything is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Bhitya. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller. And all others are compelled to dance as he makes them do. There are certainly other controllers. And as the Bhagavatam explains, that on different planets there are other very powerful personalities. And one can approach them for so many different things. If one wants a good husband, you approach such and such personality. If you want to approach, or if you want a good wife, you approach such and such personality. If you want a good child, you approach another personality. So this goes on and on and on. So certainly there are very powerful personalities. We can't minimize that. Just like we had a very nice drama this past Sunday in which Lord Indra was glorified for being a very powerful heavenly personality. But ultimately here it's described that everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram is described in the Vedic literatures that the Supreme Lord is the controller of all others. Certainly that there's, again, many, all sorts of powerful personalities. But ultimately, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the leader of all of these leaders. And he does it by his, it's not that he has to struggle to attain that position. Like Indra, for instance, he has to be very careful that so many yajnas are being performed, that he has his armies together, so that when the demons attack, he's prepared for them, or some other personality may have to perform such and such tapasya, etc., etc. No, Krishna, by his multifarious potencies, are providing him, as described, jnana valakriya cha. Everything is being provided. Full knowledge. It's not that Krishna has to do something special to understand a particular situation. But Krishna is already in full knowledge. One of his potencies gives him that complete knowledge. Neither does he have to undergo any austerities for power. He has all of that power already there within him. That qualifies him as God. And those potencies also, they're providing him wonderful pastimes. They're creating wonderful pastimes in which he can enjoy with his associates. And attract the conditioned souls. Prasya shakti vividhaya shuyate svabhavika jnana balakriyacha. They're providing everything for him. It's not that, again, Krishna has to go through some separate endeavor, but everything is there. Therefore, it's described that he has no duty to do. Right? The others, they're compelled. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they're compelled by their subordinates to provide certain things. Even Lord Shiva, he's such a powerful personality, but when his worshippers ask for some benediction, what can he do? He's compelled. Even if it's to his own detriment, isn't it? He provided some benediction to this, who was it that had the touch? Brikasura. The Brikasura had this touch, so he chased Lord Shiva all over, trying to touch his head, that as soon as his head would, or he would touch someone on the head would crack. So they're all compelled, but Krishna, he doesn't have that, he's not in that position. Therefore, he's described as the Supreme Truth, and he claims that himself. Matak parataram ananyat kinchit asti dananja. Krishna is the Supreme Truth. And there's nothing higher than him. Everything, therefore, is described as a sutra managana. Everything is dependent on him, just as pearls are strung on a beautiful thread, or beautiful flowers are strung on a thread. Just like the deities have beautiful garlands and wonderful jewelry. But it's dependent on the thread. So, similarly, the whole creation is a dependent on Krishna. Arjuna also explains that, or states that. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Krishna, again, is the supreme Brahman. He's the, and this is not just his opinion. It's not. It's a matter of. It's not a matter of flattery. Just like in the material world, people sometimes they may flatter someone so that they can get some benefit, so they can get in somehow for whatever their motive may be. So in the material world, we see that. Very common, people flatter each other for some useless reason. Arjuna is not flattering Krishna, but he's stating a fact that he's the Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramambha, Asita Devala. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita Devala, Vyas, they also confirm it. So again, it's not just his opinion. But it's a fact. Therefore, when it's explained here that Chitraketu, he tried his best to beget a child, ultimately it's up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like we can try to do so many things, we can try to make some perfect arrangement in this material world. But ultimately, it's up to the Personality of Godhead that anything happens. The unfortunate thing, the unfortunate fact is that the living entity has forgotten that. And when we forget that and we think that we're the enjoyer, then there's problems. Just like here, Chitraketu Maharaj was thinking that, I have so many beautiful wives, I have so much wealth, I'm a powerful king, I've done so many pious things. Still, there's no child. So Similarly, when the living entity begins to think that they're the enjoyer, then again there's problems. Krishna buliya se jeev anadir bahir muk. As soon as the living entity thinks, as soon as we forget that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and we become attracted to this material world. And practically speaking, it's Srila Prabhupada comments that it's from time immemorial. It's been so long. So long we've been attracted to this material world that for all intents and purposes we can say it's been eternal. But as a result of that, the living entity has to undergo so many difficulties under the grip of Maya. So the problem is that we forget, or that we're just too dull-headed. I remember when, just on a side note, I remember when I had the good fortune to go to Srila Prabhupada, and when I was getting my Brahman initiation, I was sitting there in front of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was showing on his hand how one should chant the Gayatri. And after he showed me the first time, I thought, okay, well, this is really easy. And this is, I think, a lot, many devotees have had this experience. But for me, it was very eye-opening. So I tried it, and I couldn't. I thought I did it right, but Prabhupada said, "No, do it again." This time he grabbed my hand and showed me, and then he said, "Okay, you do it." So I tried it again, and I couldn't do it. I could have swore in my mind that I did it right. But fortunately, I was able to catch myself. The next moment, I was thinking to myself, boy, am I so dull-headed. I can't even figure this out. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me with such a deep, kind eyes. He knew, if it would have been in a different way, I would have probably crumbled like a cookie. But he just said, how can I teach you if you can't remember? So when the living entity is so dull-headed that they can't see how all around them this material energy is falling apart, the living entities are so in deep illusion, ahankar bimudatma kartaham iti manyate. It's just a false ego. It's just a deep illusion that we're thinking that this is a wonderful arrangement, or that I've made wonderful arrangements, or that we'll conquer, and etc., etc. Basically, we're going to enjoy. Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahatovi Mudhan. Prahlad Maharaj also describes that these fools and rascals, they're making all sorts of elaborate plans, just like Prabhupada at the end of the purport here, he points out that we should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. And the fact is that all those plans, they simply are frustrating. Ultimately, we don't get what we're looking for. Just as here, the king, Chitraketu, it was destined by the supreme will, by providence, that he would not beget a child. Even he made so many arrangements. Or how is it that someone who may be sterile, as Prabhupada points out here, may have a child. So ultimately, yastvindra gopamata vindra mahosva karma is described in the Brahma Sanghita that the Lord, He impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment, which is destined for all of us. So we all have a certain destiny, and there's a certain enjoyment, degree of enjoyment, and there's a certain degree of distress that is going to be there. One simply has to, in spiritual life, as Prabhupada points out here, anyabhilasita shunyam, it means to simply engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how can it be explained that certain things happen? As Srila Prabhupada points out here, we must conclude that our arrangement of so-called scientific knowledge cannot demonstrate or determine what will take place. So we can't, by material means, determine what's going to happen. But we can simply accept that it's the will of the Lord, that I'm in a particular condition. I'm particular, as Prabhupada points out, your family, community, personality. These are all arrangements of the Supreme Lord according to our desires. Srila Prabhupada points out that it's just like the aroma of a flower in the wind. The desires are flowing back and forth, and when we become attached to those desires, then the Supreme Lord, He satisfies those. He's there within the heart. Upadrashtana mantarcha, Krishna, He's there within the heart of all the living beings. He permits these things according to our desire. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. So He's there situated in the heart, and according to our desire, we're given a certain personality, we're given a certain family, we're given a certain condition, and the alternative or the only recourse is to be engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, whereby one simply acts, as Prabhupada points out here, simply acting only to develop Krishna consciousness and nothing else. And what is that? Yeah, one should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. That should be life's goal. Right? Kamasyanandirapratir labo jivata javata. Life's desires should not be directed toward sense gratification. Of course, that's easy to say. We can repeat it over and over, which is good. But the point is that one has to become determined not to do that. And and instead, one should be very determined and desire a healthy life. A healthy life means to be engaged in spiritual work, Krishna consciousness. So many people are interested in health. We're thinking about diet, we're thinking about exercise, we're thinking of this, that. People are so concerned. But real health means to be engaged in Krishna conscious activities, spiritual work, inquiring into the absolute truth. That is the purpose of human life. And nothing else should really be the goal of our work. But of course that can't happen until we're exhausted with this material world. We have to recognize our condition, and it means being exhausted or tired of this cycle. And Sometimes, by the mercy of the Lord, just as this arrangement here, it appears that by the blessings given of Angira, Chitraketu was taught this lesson, as we'll see later on in this wonderful pastime. This blessing was actually meant to give him a lesson, teach him a lesson. So sometimes the Lord acts in such ways that the devotee may have to intercede on behalf of the Lord in the life of a struggling soul who's thinking that they're going to enjoy or that they can make some plan for enjoyment. So sometimes the devotees have to intercede on by the Lord's arrangement and pull them out of that condition. And that is the special mercy of the present age, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so easy for anyone to take up spiritual life. Simply, we have to act as agents. We have to sometimes intercede in the lives of certain people who are struggling, just like Chitraketu, under the illusion that I'm in this family situation, or I'm in this whatever material arrangement or situation there may be. And pull them out somehow and give them an opportunity, as Prabhupada points out here right at the end, to develop their Krishna consciousness and show them that their plan making is ultimately frustrating. So this is a very nice, there's so many points that Srila Prabhupada makes here, it's incredible, but those are just a few thoughts I had on it. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
What are you doing? He said, well, you know, I've been married for almost 11 years and no child. So I said, well, maybe that's in your karma. And but he will not give up. He will just keep trying, doing those yagyas, fire yagyas, and anything that he could. And finally, after the 11 year, he saw that nothing was happening. So he told me, he said, you know, I'm going to do another thing. What is it? He asked the family or his wife, being Indian family, I think these things can happen. He asked him to marry the sister. So the wife agrees. And yeah, so they, you know, to have a child. So I didn't see him for like 5 years, 6 years, and suddenly I saw him with a baby in his hand, and I said, oh, Prabhu, I'm so happy you have a kid, finally, after all this struggle and everything. So I was assuming that he already had his second wife. And then I said, so how's it going now with two wives? He said, no. He says, just when I did that, you know, something, miracle, in other words, Krishna, in the hand of God, was kind on him. So it happens like that sometimes, that the Lord, you know, like we, it appears that we're forcing our destiny, but him being a devotee, I took it that Krishna was kind of him, because I know another example separately. I had a brother who had the same situation, where he was trying once, nothing. The child died. The second time tried, he died. So he came for advice to me, and I told him, well, it's not really in your destiny to have a child. But he was forcing it. He was trying to get another wife. Say, that's really bad. You cannot do that. Well, at least I can adopt a child. Then I said, that might bring you also a lot of troubles. So then he finally did it again, and he did have a child, but unfortunately wasn't, as a parent would like to see a child, it's like not really normal. It wasn't that really that. So sometimes forcing your destiny is not good. But sometimes it can be bewildering too, because, you know, like this devotee, he didn't give up. He just kept going and kept going, and he meant to be, I guess. So that was my comment.
Yeah, it's all in the will of the Lord. It's, if he wants, it'll happen. If it's not meant to happen, it won't happen. There's a very nice couple who lived here some years ago. Some devotees may know them, Karnapur and Ragatmika Dasi. And they're very nice devotees, and they were married for some years, and they weren't able to have a child, but they managed to adopt one. She had a number of miscarriages. Finally, they adopted one, and then shortly after the child left or passed. So when if Krishna wants, then it's again, it's something that we have to learn from. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If it's not meant to be, then it won't happen. And we just simply have to become satisfied with the process of devotional service and devote ourselves to him and the process, and that'll replace any of those other kinds of desires that are sitting there in the heart. It's meant for purification. Ultimately, this was all for Chitraketu's purification, as will be revealed later on. And he's greatly appreciative. And that happens also. Afterwards, we, oh, okay, thank you, Krishna. I realize why that didn't happen. I see, now it's, whew, my intelligence is clear. Any other comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.